Mr. Willis, reel 3.
Working conditions for kooks were pretty rotten, in fact.
Always have been, right up until after I... just before I left the Navy, when they began... when I left the Valiant, she went into the dockyard and that, and where the galleys was in the battery deck, it was in the, she was in the midships, right on the centre line. And each side of us was six-inch guns, six-inch battery. That was there. Then underneath, that was the mess deck.
What about ventilation and the galley and utensils and facilities? These weren't very grand either for a lot of the time.
No.
You said you had lots of rats and cockroaches too.
You didn't have rats in every ship, you know. At least I never saw any. Barn, we had one or two in the Carnarvon, and that, unfortunately, we were out in Jib, alongside the mole, and I saw this rat come up the gangway. So I reported it. Oh, they had a rat hunt, but after that we never saw anything. The only ship where we did get a lot of bloomin' rats was, as I say, was the Majestic. Any other ship there could have been rats there, but I never saw any of them. Oh, yeah, that's a tell a lie. The New Zealand. We had a few there, not a great lot. Because I used to sling my mic on the, underneath here was a table going the full length of a galley where they used to put their dinners at when they brought them up. And I used to sling my mic there at night. And across here was a couple of pipes. And it used to come out like that, down a little bit like that, going across there. Well, now every night, you might not believe this, one rat had come from that way, another one had come from that way. They would meet here, and I could put my hand up like that in my out of my hammock and touch them. They used to rub noses, turn and go away again. But as regards being infested, no, very few.
What measures did they take to deal with them when they did arise, when they did come on board?
Oh, they did. They took all sorts of measures. Oh, yes. Because as I say, to clear, but you once get rats in a ship, you've got a hell of a job to clear.
The other thing you talked about in the galley was cockroaches.
No, not in the galley, in the bakehouse. Yes, sir. And every week, I'm speaking about the Thunderer now. The bakehouse is on the mess deck, and the ventilation for that bakehouse was nil. Only what came in through the door from the mess deck. Well, this, because the galley infested with cockroaches. You've never seen the birth of a cockroach, have you?
You were telling me, Mr. Willis, about cockroaches being born. What was that?
I was having my breakfast, and at the back of me, there was a slanting piece of metal with a window in it. And outside was where a ladder went up onto the upper deck. But I was sitting there, and I happened to look around on this glass like that and I saw this cockroach and I could see the little things, star-shaped things, coming out of the behind of it. Well, what we used to do to try and get rid of them, we used to get buckets and buckets and buckets of boiling water. And we used to slosh it all around this bakehouse. And you could shovel up shovelfuls of them. But they were just as bad at the end of the week. So that was a job we had to do every Saturday. And they used to stink like hell. And the vessel that brought them to this country was called the Barossa. And they were little brown things. But my God, didn't they stink.
What steps would the paymaster commander or someone like him make to keep the galleys clean and to make sure that it was being kept in some order and some reasonable cleanliness?
That was left to the chief cook. And he was answerable to the paymaster. If the paymaster was not satisfied with it, well, then he'd tell the chief cook about it.
How often would he inspect?
He never what you might call inspect. He'd come along and say, morning, chief. How's things today? Or how are you getting on? But his eyes were all over the place. Well, that was his inspection. Well, he never had no fault. Oh, he knew all about the cockroaches. There was a paymaster lieutenant commander called Cullinan.
When do you go?
I was going to hop on a bit, but it's a bit too far. Right.
Let me just ask, because you were talking quite a lot the last time about the Lion training ship.
Yeah.
You spent quite some time there when you were very young.
Just 2 years and 4 months.
Tell me about what you found in the Lion, because it was quite a tough place for young boys training at that time, and you talked about it before.
Well, I think I've told you all I could about that, about their food, their way of living, and that. And their way of punishment.
Tell me about the way of punishment again.
Yeah. Well, they were not allowed to smoke. But you know, where they used to get fags from somewhere, but where, you'd never get out of a boy where he got that fag from. No fear. All right. Day out for the commander, you see a crowd of boys up there every morning. Some will get a dozen, some will have nine, some will have six. And my hatchway on the Implacable, which was the French ship that we captured, guy to Triumph, I think it was called, they lay them across the hatch and give them their so many cuts with a cane.
Was this done in public? Everybody was assembled for it?
On the upper deck.
And the whole ship?
The boys weren't assembled for that. They were about doing their work. But the punishment boys, defaulters as they called them, were up there, lined up, and they watched the proceedings.
There were some quite serious offences. I mean, smoking was a regular one, but there were other things that boys did which got heavy.
Yeah, punishment. There's all sorts. For stealing and that. They used to get punished with a dozen cuts with a cane, and then they had a big canvas jumper made. And they put that on them, and they had to wear that for so long. Some had to wear it for 3 months. And on the back and front was great big black letters, as big as that. Thief.
How would a boy feel about that?
You're telling me. I don't know. It was in their little minds, not mine. But it stopped a lot of thieving with a crowd of, what shall we say, a matter of close on 1,500 boys in both ships, may have been more.
And there was occasions when the cane or the rope what was used was brought to the galley, you said, and you were asked to...
Ah, no, that wasn't cane.
No, tell me about that.
The birching.
Birching.
The birches. They used to be brought down to the galley, and we used to put them in the copper on top of a grating where it was above the water, but in the steam. They were kept there for about half an hour. And then they were taken out, and they taken straight up on deck, and by the time they cut up there, of course they were cold, but you could turn them up and tie knots in them. And that, there were three. Each one done 8 cuts. The master at arms put the first 8 on, and the others were divided between two of the ship's corporals. So it was 3 different men to apply these 24 cuts. There was 8 each.
What would they get the birch for, as opposed to the cane?
Oh, wow. I told you about the homosexual business, didn't I?
Yes.
That was that. But there'd be some. There were one boy. What was it? We had 2 there. One was called Tubby Watkins, and he deserted. Went home on leave, but didn't come back. Anyhow, they caught him. He got 24 with a birch. But previous to that, he was up before the commander. There was the captain of the ship. And him being to talk to and sentencing, he tilted up the table. Because the table was put on 4 legs that slipped in that, so to be stowed away. And of course that fell down the commander's foot. So he was taken down below, and outside the master-at-arms cabin was a still stanchion. He was laid there, he was handcuffed, and they put his legs round the stanchion and the leg iron right the way across. And that's where he had to stay.